This is RSBNB Update, episode 355, recorded April 6th, 2012. Buying Squeals. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of RSBNB Update. The usual people are here, Mr. Shane12088 and Trekkie.
Hi, everybody. What's up?
You're awfully energetic with your introduction this week.
Yeah, well, today I didn't have to wake up at 5 in the morning.
Oh, that's good. So you weren't running around being the chauffeur?
Not yet, no.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, so that's his day job. His night job is to go dungeoneering. Make glory amulets, play StarCraft 2, and blow Federation players up on Star Trek Online, because his Federation player is horrible.
Almost ready to go.
Okay. Well, no, we're not going to talk that much about Star Trek this week, unless, of course, we have any questions asking us to, seeing as it is First Contact Day yesterday and all, so it is a very important day in the Star Trek universe, but... All things aside, we're going to just discuss RS right now because that's what the focus is here. But if anybody has any First Contact Day celebrations going on this weekend, just post them in the topic and you'll receive our blessing.
Mm-hmm.
So, this weekend's also Easter weekend.
Yes. Good Friday today.
Yes. And, you know, I got some strange looks because... Normally, we're doing the show when I don't have a full complement of people here, but, you know, everybody else is here, so it's a little bit different because normally the people who are here do understand that, you know, this is show day and you need to be quiet, so I had to do a little bit of re-education on that. So, with it being Easter, Jagex also put out their Easter event this week, the Evil Chicken versus Chocotrace. Make a difference. Which side did you choose?
I like fried chicken, so I went with fried chicken.
Okay, I went the chocolate side. Because I didn't really like the way the egg mask looked on your head. And, well, fried chicken is not good for you. Whereas chocolate, if it's the right kind, can be good for you.
Only if it's dark chocolate.
Yes, and that's my favorite kind of chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
So, basically... do you want to say what you do with this once you go talk to the evil chicken or Chocotrace at Varrock Square?
So what happens is they're having their own little fight again. And what you do is you pick a side. Either you know you go with Choco or the chicken. And he gives you a gun, which you use to find eggs around. It's basically like a Easter hunt. So you go around blowing everything up you can. And when you find the eggs... You shoot them, and depending on what you're sending is, you either turn it into a chocolate bar or it turns into fried chicken.
And of course, when you find all, there's three of them in the free world and two of them in the members world, and once you find all five of them, you take them back to your preferred Easter mascot, I guess, the Chocotrice or Evil Chicken, and then after that, he will give you a reward based on that, and the reward... Should you get all five of them for the Chocotrice is the chocolate egg mask, and the reward for the evil chicken is the egg on the eye mask.
Mm-hmm.
So you can also do this three times in order to keep the egg exterminator, they called it. That's the gun. The egg exterminator.
Get it? Haha.
Yes, yes, yes. Egg exterminator. So you do the event three times in order to do that, and then that gun is yours to keep. And which skills did you use your lamp on?
Lamp? Oh, I only did one of them, so I did on just summoning.
And you got... Did you get 850 XP as well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it doesn't scale with level. So you get a lamp worth 850 XP. Not much if you're relatively high level, but, you know, that's the point. This is designed for free-to-play because, well...
It's not for fun.
Well, you know, I mean, the reward is designed for free-to-play. 850 XP for a new free-to-play player, that's quite a bit.
Mm.
So. And it's also worth noting that these egg events start every odd hour, so 1 p.m., 3 p.m., 5 p.m., 7 p.m., 9 p.m., 11 p.m., 1 a.m., etc., BST. So if you go into the area where the I keep wanting to say Easter Bunny, but he's not here because he had an accident.
Yes, whether that, how that accident occurred remains to be seen.
What did it say? Something, he fell off White Wolf Mountain with a boulder attached to his toe or something? Or no, he broke his toe?
As I remember, he said, I felt he had a little accident going up from a cliffside. So, okay.
Yeah, and broke his toe or something. So that's why there's no Easter Bunny this year. But anyways, aside from that, if you go up to the people there, they'll tell you when the next hunt is starting. And then they'll give you the first hint for free. And then after that, it's up to you to find the rest of the eggs in the entire world. And they recommend that people fan out and do this to find them, of course, because, you know, it is such a big area. So they have two clad chats set up for you to use. So you can enter one of those and look for whichever side you want to work for. And eventually you'll find all five eggs. And you do have 2 hours to do it, so it's a decent amount of time. Or if you want to cheat, you could find somewhere online that actually has the locations posted for the hour. You know, if you're just wanting to do that, that's okay. Otherwise, well, I mean, I'm not encouraging you to do that. But if you do that, it speeds the event up greatly. It takes about 5 minutes to do. Did you do that?
Actually, I did something else.
Okay, what'd you do?
Pokey told me.
Oh, okay, well that works. That's kind of the same thing.
He told me what to do. I was like, oh, okay.
Okay.
He told me, go here. Okay.
So what do you think? How does this compare with past events? Past Easter events?
It's okay.
You think?
It's okay. I mean, nothing special happened.
I mean, this one actually had a theme of Easter. I don't particularly think last year's event had a theme of Easter. I don't even remember what last year's event was.
That shows you just how bad it was.
Yeah, how much it didn't resonate with me. So, I mean, it's not one of the events that always sticks in your head like the 2005 Christmas event did. So, I mean, it would be nice if these events had a similar focus going forward that actually made it feel like Easter. Because Chaka Trice and Evil Chicken, to me, that doesn't feel like Easter. Except for the egg mask. What about you?
I don't really care for Easter anyway. We just hide eggs anyway.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it doesn't feel like Easter on RS with this, does it?
I guess not, considering how they are.
Yeah, so, I mean, I just wish it would feel more like the actual holiday during this event. That's my one complaint with this.
Mm-hmm.
With all these holiday events. So, let's see. Easter 2011 was the Holly and Hawthorne, right? I remember that now. Anyways, so that's Easter. You have probably a good week left to do that. You will have to do the hunt three times if you want to keep the Eggsterminator. Otherwise, you just do it twice or once, depending if you want both masks or whatever. But I assume there will be some way to get those in the future. And it's also of note that you will be able to get all the previous Easter emotes unlocked when you do this. So even though there was no new Easter emote this year, you will get an Easter emote unlocked for doing this.
Mm-hmm. Nothing new, basically.
No, nothing new. Pretty similar. The two channels they suggest you use are Evil Egg Find or Chalk Egg Find. So that's pretty much Easter. I don't think there's anything else I need to mention regarding this part.
Yeah, it's pretty standard. Nothing will jump out at you. Be like, oh, really?
Yep. Alrighty then. So, now we're on to the part of the update this week that is a lot more controversial in other people's views. That is the ability to buy squins.
Hey, Shane.
Buy spins on the Squeal of Fortune, but of course you can also get other methods of buying or getting spins for the Squeal of Fortune. So, first of all, let's approach this from two sides. Getting extra spins for Squeal of Fortune. What do you think? Yes or no?
Eh, something we always needed anyway. Some of us actually said that, believe it was actually, it's actually a good thing to find a way to get extra spins.
Yeah, okay. Some of the ways you can actually get these extra spins are landing on a square on the Squeal of Fortune that actually does give you a double spin token. Monster drops, they say they have a rare chance of dropping a spin ticket. Of course, the exceptions are creatures in minigame and Dungeoneering. Non-skilling activities, so any activity that can earn you a Shattered Heart Rock will get you this. So that's good to know, I guess, if you're out doing agility. You could just have one of these things appear in your inventory. Also, distraction and diversions each week. Each week, one of four distractions and diversions will give you a guaranteed spin for completing a particular action. So, for instance, the circus complete any one of the four performances: magic, ranged agility, or fire making. Penguin hide and seek exchange penguin points and coins by speaking to Larry or Chuck. Evil tree attack the evil tree and shooting star mine the star. And of course, troll invasion also counts as that. And of course, they say members do get two extra spins as well. And then this comes to the part where everybody was upset about this. If you require more spins, or simply prefer to have some time, save some time, you can purchase various spin packages to do this. Simply click the Buy Spins button within the Squeal of Fortune interface.
Yes, yeah, so it's basically a DLC for RuneScape.
Yes! What do you think?
Well, I'll let you go first because I already know your point of view.
No, you go first because yours is probably shorter than mine.
Well, you're paying money to get extra spins. Okay, and the spins don't really, you know, I think if you spend the money for the spins anyway, the amount of the things you can get, and you know, your odds are you're just going to get another 50 coins, it's not really worth the money in the first place. I mean, remember when this first came out, Shane, me and you suggested what they should really have are nudges, you know, nudge or a little bit of respin or something like that, to push you in the right direction.
Yes, and then you wouldn't know how far it would necessarily nudge you. I still think that's a good idea.
Well, then again, this is just giving you an extra spin. If you're just getting an extra spin, you're not really... If you're just getting an extra spin, you're not really doubling your chances or anything. All you're doing is just, oh, I have another shot of getting something.
Yeah, yeah.
So it really doesn't help you at all. If anything, it just wastes more money. You'll waste some of your money because you're not getting a better chance. It's not like, yo, if I do max bet, I can win more money. No, you don't.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll get into what I feel about this, but you raise a valid point there that I'll address shortly, is that it's not high stakes enough, but more on that in just a bit. I mean, the whole reaction to this in the community was bang all over the place right after it happened. I mean, there was riots, as we all know the RuneScape players like to do, which is a futile attempt, in my view, in Varrock Square to draw some attention to this, to Jagex. There's a topic on the forums that has 13,000 replies on it by now. I mean, there are people upset saying, this is Jagex RWTing. This is Jagex breaking their own rules. This is Jagex, doing whatever against the rules and being hypocritical. I mean, but, you know, Jagex is a company and they can do what they want.
And also, Go ahead. On that note, Shane, also remember that what they're against is, buying and selling weapons and armor. This is spins.
Yes.
And if you want to spend money on spins, that's your thing. This is basically like, oh, I can have. This is you're paying money to have a shot at something that the odds are so stacked up against you that you're better luck playing the lottery in real
Yeah,
life.
and just to give you an example, I did buy a 10 spin package and I got two medium lamps that went to summoning, like two small lamps, and the rest was just r relatively piddly stuff too. I know Tim was saying he bought a 75 pack.
Really?
Yeah, and he didn't get much else beyond it. He didn't get any super rare items. But over time, I guess if you get medium lamps, that would stack because you can use those lamps on skills and you can get XP, which is perfectly valid. If you want to put the money into it, go for it. But yeah, so anyways, I'll begin by saying that first and foremost, this is a good thing for Jagex because it allows players who are appreciative and really, really like the game to give Jagex a little bit more. Think of your membership as the base price you pay to have the full game. And now think of a few extra squeal spins as a tip on top of it. You go to a good restaurant, you pay the whatever per dish, $30, $40 per dish, and then of course you're going to leave a tip after because you get good service, right?
Well, in general, you're supposed to leave a tip, but how
Yes,
much
but
of it is depending on
it's
you.
up to you, and there's nothing saying you're supposed to give a tip. They're not going to chase you out if you don't give a tip. So this is the same thing here in that, you don't have to give a tip, but if you like what Jagex is doing, you can give them a tip.
They don't deserve a tip.
Well, that's your opinion. But some people think they might be doing a good job at this. So it's perfectly valid in that regard that it's just a tip. Also, you should be able to do what you want with your own money. I mean, for anybody out there who's American, just look at your healthcare system.
What healthcare
Well, you have to pay for your
system?
own healthcare, and people who don't have healthcare don't get healthcare. So, I mean, you have to put your money into that. So, it's essentially like that. There are people out there who are not going to be able to do this, but you will put money into your own healthcare plan. So this is kind of the same thing. There are people out there who aren't going to put money into their own RuneScape account to get more squeal spins, and that's fine. They don't have to. And of course, there's you who might decide that you want this extra chance once a month or whatever, or twice a month, and give Jagex $5, $10 a month for more spins. So I mean, it's kind of the same thing like that. Another thing that people are not seeing when they go through this huge reaction, the 13,000 people that posted on that topic, are that you do not need to buy extra spins to reap the rewards from Squeal of Fortune. As we mentioned, there are so many ways to get extra spins through these in-game methods. This is the only method requiring real-world currency. If we go back to the original news posting, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 ways to get extra spins aside from spending money. I mean, that's an overwhelming majority, don't you think? 9 ways to get these extra spins without spending money. So that's another thing that people need to realize. Also, you don't get any items from this that are providing you
Tradable.
any benefit that people can't get elsewhere for real money. I mean, you can grind out this XP, it's just a bit faster. You can get the lucky Armadale Godsword. You can get the Dragon Claws. You can get pretty much everything from there, except for the tattoos and whatnot, but those are just cosmetic. So, that's another thing. It's not tipping the balance of the game in one way or another. It's not having bad effects on the in-game economy. I mean, sure, people might get a bit more XP, but that's a reward for putting money into this. And that's probably what people wanted from this for the very beginning. I think, Trekkie, I don't know about you, but when you do your daily spin, what is the item you go for the most?
Honestly, since I don't, I'll never hope to get the rare ones. I just go for the area that has the most lamps.
Exactly. And that's what I do too. So the lamps are what people are going after here. So if people want to do that for lamps, that's perfectly fine, in my view, because you can get them through the regular spin or you can just go grind them out. You're not getting some kind of innate, special thing that makes you. It's not like an I win button. Like, it's not a 99 rune crafting or 99 farming. You can't win 99 farming or buy 99 farming from this. Continuing on, as I said, they're not tradable. So, I mean, the effects to the economy are nothing. So, more spins won't have any major issue. So, that's another moot point. Now it comes to the point about why Jagex brought this in. Personally, I feel they had to bring this in because there's a certain group of players out there who left Jagex no choice, specifically the in-game gamblers, the people who would do all the flower game, egg game, you name it, whatever else kind of gambling games out there. RuneScape needed a legit form of gambling moderated by Jagex themselves. And, you know, this is just like spinning the roulette wheel. You put a bit of money down and you don't know what you're going to get. So, I mean, this was needed. I don't think it goes far enough, but I'll get there again shortly. So, if you want to blame somebody, don't blame Jagex. Blame the group of players who were initially gambling like this for putting this on Jagex's radar. Also, microtransactions are everywhere. TF2, Xbox, other PC games, other platforms, they're everywhere. I mean, DLC content on the Xbox is stupider than this. I mean, you get a little hat for your avatar that you just see on screen. You can't even interact with him in the real world. Your avatar doesn't even work in games that you play. Well, most games. So, I mean, there's stupider DLC than this. Nobody complains about buying all those Call of Duty map packs and whatnot. I bet, in
We
fact, there are
did.
people in this group here who do think that buying these map packs is a bad idea. I mean, no, not that. I mean, I bet there are people in this group who have indeed bought these map packs but are criticizing this move when essentially it's the same thing. So, I mean, DLC is everywhere these days, so it's just something that's got to happen. I mean, even Star Trek Online has it. I'm not sure about World of Warcraft, but pretty much every game does now have some form of microtransactions. Let us also not forget that RuneScape is a free game, so you don't have to pay a single cent. You get one free spin a day, even if that's your case. So this is another revenue model for Jagex. Imagine, like, we run RSBNB and we know that running ads isn't necessarily the best way of supporting a business. Ad views are not always a guaranteed source of income. So, I mean, every other revenue model that Jagex can bring in is perfectly good for them because ultimately what's good for Jagex is good for all of us, you know? More revenue means they can have more money in their company, which also means they can bring in more resources at Castle Jagex to have better developer abilities. So overall, they'll have more capabilities to bring us things in the future, whether it be RuneScape or Fun Orb or Stellar Dawn, if that ever appears. And ultimately, it's a good start. Needs to go further, but now that the cat's out of the bag, they could have actually done something really, really off the rocker if they wanted to kill two birds with one stone. I might get shot for saying this, but Jagex needs to take this as a one step forward and start selling some kind of GP in game, whether it's the
Really?
kind of GP that we have now or a different kind of GP that can only be used for certain things, maybe even real GP. And here's why. This week I was having a little chat with Cap, who some of you might remember from last year. He was our one of our bot specialists, so we were having a little chat here with regards to this. And we essentially said that yes, this is a good move. The game is in need of a money sink. The pe reason people gamble is because they want something to be more high stakes. So what if you turn this into buying GP, but you use GP to buy a spin? So for instance, 1 million GP will buy you one spin. And you know, this is a good thing because the game always needs new money sinks. Construction was a money sink. Summoning was a money sink. A good majority of the other skills are money sinks. So this would be a good money sink that would take money out of the game and improve the economy in general by dragging down the inflation a bit that we see in the RuneScape economy. Because compared to 2004, the economy is so inflated. So something does need to be done about that. And also, if they were to bring in some form of GP, they could directly combat the gold sellers. And they would take focus off of that market and bring focus into their gold selling market, which would then allow for the gold sellers to disappear because Jagex would have safe gold, cheap gold, that could be sold to their players. Now, I'm not saying this is the same kind of gold that you use for whatever you have right now. I'm not saying it would be GP. I'm saying it might be some kind of like J-Coin in game that you could use to buy items from certain stores and whatnot. Like, say you have a store where you can buy, say you have stores where you can buy consumables and some armor. You can do this. And maybe even say there was a way to put these either real coins or this kind of coin into this Wheel of Fortune to get more spins. So in doing this, Jagex would fix the RWT issue. Well, maybe not fix it, but definitely take a burden off of the illegitimate gold farmers and put the emphasis on their own gold, which would make the game a much better experience because you would not have huge gold farmers running around with the need to bot. You simply undercut them and their business disappears. It's not profitable for them anymore. Thirdly, it would take money out of the game if you could use this gold in order to have some kind of Wheel of Fortune money sink. So you have spins that you buy with J-Coins or you buy spins with GP, and that is the best way of getting spins. I mean, this is a good idea, but Jagex could take this further, even taking limit the loyalty rewards to loyal players and have a new set of similar loyalty items bought using microtransactions. And this would have another use for the J-Coins. So I think this is just the tip of the iceberg, and I think they could have taken this a bit further, but I think they didn't because the issue would have been probably too fracturous for the community and maybe even too fracturous for the people at Jagex. But I absolutely think this is a good idea. And, you know, people I've talked to, most of my friends from in-game are older, and they all agree that this is a good idea. So, I mean, well, most of them do. But so, I mean, I'm not alone in this view.
Feel better, Shane, to get that out?
Yes, that was my monologue for the week.
Alrighty. So you want to move on to the next one, or do you have any
more
things?
Well, no, I want to know what you think of all what I said.
Shane, whatever I say hits you like water and does nothing.
Well, give the fine listeners a view of what that is so they have your alternate view.
At times where money is still really in short supply, try and nickel and dime is just pain in the butt.
So are you for this or are you against it?
To be honest, I'm neutral because those who wants to buy the spins, go ahead, you know, do what you want. I'm not going to do it because I'm not going to win anything anyway. You might as well just play the lottery in real life and hopefully hit the couple million dollar jackpot.
Exactly. But, you know, and you know, that's the same view I have too. I don't see myself buying spins all that often, maybe once a quarter or something. It's just like TF2 keys. Once in a while, I'll feel like treating myself to a TF2 key to see if I can open up a crate and get something good. So, and you know, the thing is that this was blown so out of proportion. I mean, this doesn't even affect you if you don't want it to. I mean, and I just have a feeling that so many of the people who are against this are just being huge hypocrites, because I bet they bought some kind of other DLC in the future, in the past.
Or probably did buy a bunch from Call of Duty anyway.
Exactly.
I mean, if they play any BioWare game, that's, you know, what first one day DLC.
Exactly.
They've been doing that
it's
for
cheaper
years.
Than that.
How much is it for a pack?
$15 for a map pack on Call of Duty.
I mean, in
RS, a 10 spin pack is $5. I don't know what the other ones are. I think it's something like 10, 5, 10, 20, something like that.
Yeah, maybe one day they'll start giving discounts.
20%
yeah, discount to celebrate, blah, 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 blah. What?
Are you doing that to get at me for buying that ship that's now on sale?
No. That happens in every game. I always wait when the game has some kind of sale. Guild Wars is a prime example. They, you know, a lot of my friends are like, dude, you should buy the extra bank storage spot. It's like, no, I'm going to wait. Sure enough, in like 2 months, oh, you're selling these for 75% off. Okay, there we go. So, you know, I buy it too. I just wait for it when it's on sale. And
yeah.
Same with video games. You know, if you want to buy it, pay $60 for the game, knock
go
yourself
for
out.
It. But
if you want to wait, you know, maybe
a
two,
year,
3
you'll be
months,
able to get it for $40 or $30.
And not only that, usually what they do is they'll hook you up some kind of deal. If you buy it at Walmart, not only will you get $10 off, but you get $10 in, you know, in a Walmart gift card.
Yeah, so maybe there will be some kind of sale for this in the future. I mean, but, like a JX anniversary sale or a New Year's sale or something, you know?
That's also I think what they also will do in the future is make it so you can buy it in the store, buy the, like, you know, membership card things and have free spins.
Yeah,
in it.
Yeah.
I think
I mean,
that's what they'll probably.
What'd
I think
be wrong
that's
with that? And
it's up to them.
Yeah, and you know, I really wish they would go a step further, because I mean, just make it so that you can buy some amount of GP, because that would drastically cut down the real world trading. And, you know, you could cut down the grind a bit, too, if you wanted to with that. So, like, by all means, this is not something new to games. And, I mean, there are people who are totally against this, but I think that's just the way things are going this way. I mean, there are only two negatives that I can see to this whole Squeal update. First one being is that it's essentially gambling, which in most countries is limited in age to people who are over the age of 18. Is it 18 or 21 in the U.S.?
21.
Okay.
It's, oh, wait. Yeah, 21. 21 to okay. Gamble and drink, 18 to smoke.
Okay. Well, it's 18 here. And, you know, that's a little unconcerning to me, because I see gambling as a moral issue, and I don't think that young people should be able to do that until we know they're old enough to make such a choice. So, I mean, there should be some kind of age gate on the ability to buy extra spins, for one thing. That is one side downside I see from this. And the RuneScape account I use is on a credit card, and when I went in to use my PayPal account to buy my 5-pack of spins, I saw the saved credit card information there, and the report is that it doesn't request that you re-enter your card security code. So if your account gets taken over, you know, you're kind of at the mercy of this, but I know both Visa and MasterCard do have good fraud preventions, so it might be something to think about if just check, make sure that in the future that you might not want to save your card info or something like that. I don't know how that worked for recurring membership, but those are my only real two issues with this update.
So, feel better?
Yes, actually, I do. The main point that was making me feel all upset this week was that it's like the vast majority of people cannot see this as a good thing, and I hope that everybody listening to this will have at least some kind of perspective on this. And you know, I know there are people out there who are going to listen to this and totally dismiss everything I say, but that's okay. I mean, our goal is not to go with what the general community says about this. We are a show where we are allowed to have our own opinions here, and those opinions are going to be said. And just like you said there, you're neutral to this. You don't care about whether or not they bring this in. You're not all upset about it. You're not raging about it like some people are, and I think it's a good thing. So, I mean, you have two people here, and we're part of the older crowd. I think it'd be interesting to see the demographics on this, because, like I said, I talked to a few older people, and they seem to think this is a good idea. I'm not sure about who doesn't think it's a good idea, but I'm willing to bet it might be the people who are younger and newer to the game. So.
Hello.
Anyways. I don't think I have anything else to say regarding this. So, tweaks and fixes?
Oh, okay. Let's see. This one I think is funny. It is no longer possible to get stuck inside a tree in Castle Wars. Which tree was that, Shane? I have no idea.
I don't know. I don't even know how you get stuck inside of a tree.
Let's see. Others, equipping barrels number no longer close in the equipment interface. Let's see. Seal of path. Oh, I never needed that anyway. Fletching bloodwood trees into shafts now uses using the make X system now correctly calculates how many all is.
Oh yeah, that's good.
Let's see. The exit coordinate of the Rikella Slayer cave has updated to move the player off of the cave entrance. I guess it was a little mini bug, and that's pretty much it. Everything else is just like, you know, a little graphical retweak. And not possible to ignite explosive breaks in Dig Site Quest.
It's now possible or it's not possible?
Now.
Ooh.
But, okay.
I don't even remember that.
I think it was some, I don't know, I think it might be something like a try using the tinder box with the barrel and does nothing, but you put it in a bucket, the whole thing blows up in your hand.
Oh, maybe.
It does, you know, whatever percent damage of your health remaining.
Hey!
Huzzah!
Alright. Yeah.
Oh, nothing. There's the next part.
Okay. Oh, this is something pertaining to RSVP update focus last week. The Varrock plate body is now considered a part of the golden mining suit for the XP bonus.
I thought it always was.
Well, apparently you didn't get the extra extra tick of XP if you were using the Varrock plate body suit.
I remember when they first released it, and it was possible to get it with it. I'm guessing it was a little bug in it or something. I can't remember.
Jumping back to the squeal bit, there were indeed two questions about the squeal update, and as the FAQ says, you know, don't ask questions particularly about the RS updates that are actually about the content of them, because we will get all to that. So I think it was Ranging God and J-Mai Sine, if I remember correctly. We probably did address both of your questions in that. So that's why you will not be hearing them later. So please do read the FAQ for next time, everyone. All right. So behind the scenes for April.
I'm happy with one of them. I'm very happy with one of them.
The Dungeoneering thing?
Yes, I am very happy with this change.
Because you now have a Dungeoneering tool about, for one thing.
So, I'll just read off of here. First, we added a tool belt for use in Dungeoneering. Much like the surface world counterpart, this automatic fills with all basic tools. But you're also able to add higher level tools to your Dungeoneering tool belt when you find them, affecting your allowing you carrying the best pickaxe and hatchets you can find without costing you inventory face. That is awesome. That will make fighting one of the boss so much easier. Keys will automatically share between all party members. Yay! When any player picks up a key, everyone else party has access to their key, access to it through a new key category in their tool belt. Basic resources such as ore, logs, and raw food, will stack, meaning more capacity for eager artisans in your party. All stackable resources, as well as coins, will also have a drop X option, allowing stacks to be split. That should
That's
be
good.
implemented in the game itself.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think they're trying to baby step and see what happens. But it's all good. Some non-dungeon improvement, allowing crafting and fishing activities to change to the chance to drop Shattered Hearts. Okay, that'll be later. Allowing vampiric names to earn during the branches of Darkmire to be changed. So that's actually totally different. But anyway, I'm happy with the dungeon update. You
yeah,
know,
that's a good
it'll
update.
make things easier. You have anything you want to say before I start my little rant or my little monologue?
No, not really. I just know that'll make Dungeoneering more enjoyable, and I'm still waiting for the global queue matchmaking system.
That will take a while. Okay, so you know, remember when we first read this? One of the things we said: does this mean the end of Kiers? Remember, you're talking about, oh, you know, so for those who don't know who don't dungeon, a Kier is somebody who basically is the person that is in charge of the entire party. And if the party is good, the Kier will tell them exactly what to do. So like, he's in charge of getting every single key. You find it, you give it to him or her, and you find a door, you gate it, and she has it, give it to you, and you basically clear out an entire dungeon. Well, the thing is that, like, with this, there's really no point in having a key here because everybody has access to it. There's no need to
right.
keep track of what you're
yeah,
doing.
Yeah, that's why I asked, is this the end of Kiers?
Well, I was talking to my friend Burn and Bass, both of which have 120 Dungeoneering, one level 138. So, you know, they've been doing this for years.
Two
so
years.
Dungeoneering, yeah,
two
so
years
been doing
exactly.
This 2 years. Oh, okay. So they've been doing this from the very beginning, and you know, just to add a little tidbit, Baz, who is an excellent keyer, he can get, if he gets a really good competent group, he can basically key in large floor level 40 plus in about 7 minutes. That is fast. Well, I was talking to them about this, and I was like, do you think this is the end of keying? He said no, because what happened effectively being is that instead of having one keyer, you have five. So everybody is a keyer, and if you see a door, you can open it, clear it out, and, you know, keep on going. What this effectively does is it actually makes Dungeoneering easier because you don't have one person holding on to everything, and you keep asking, you have this, you have that, I got this, you have that. You just head
so
to
we'll
it.
So we'll have
you see
five
it.
keyers.
Yes, you'll have five keyers, and this makes it a lot easier because you don't have to teleport to the person, ask him for the key. He drops it, you get it, and then you teleport back, hopefully have it in that area, open it, go through, and, you know, that adds time that's, you know, not needed. Well, talking with him is, what this does, it gets rid of that. And as you remember, Shane, when me, you, and Mike were with Jeremy, and we were doing our dungeon runs, we kept constantly going back to the group gate stone, grabbing the key, teleporting back, and, you know, so on and so forth. This removes it completely. So what this does is, if you have a good group, instead of spending 15 minutes or so in a floor, you spend maybe 10 minutes, because you don't have to go back and forth. You can just keep on going.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have to. And you know, what also makes it really good is that if you have very, very competent, you probably finish in about 4 minutes.
So in other words, we're going to see a huge boost in the Dungeoneering XP.
Yes.
Well, that's good, I guess.
And Kiers won't go away because basically
you still need somebody to head up the party and say where to go.
Well, the Kier will have a lot less responsibility because he doesn't have to tell you where to go now. He can just, hey, this is open. Oh, I cannot do it. Can someone come up? Oh, yeah, I can come on over.
Yeah, and then I imagine the only time when you'll need to group gatestone somewhere is if there's a guardian room or something where you need all the people in order to all hands on deck to take everything out.
Mm-hmm. And say there's this guardian door, well, you don't have to stay there and hopefully everybody comes over. You just leave it there and then go out of your merry way trying to open other doors. So as you're not sitting around and you're hopefully not just sitting around wondering what to do now, you can like, oh, I can try to open this door if I can or not. One other little thing that I hope that Jackass will implement is the key page, the key category.
Oh,
You know,
on the ring thing?
what gets enabled to have category in your tool belt.
Okay.
You know how Squeeze of Fortune is, right? So you can move that button all over the place and drag it all
Oh,
over.
yes.
I would love it if you can make it so they have just one little page. You know, it's scrollable and resizable depending on how you want it. And you can put it anywhere on your screen. And if there's a key, you look to the left or to the right, and there it is. Oh,
Yeah.
it's start one
Yeah.
down, and it's
And
all in order. It's like blue, red, green, blah 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 blah. It's all in order, and you just glance at it. You don't have to go into your tool belt, look for it, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and
Because
you
that's
know, as you said, we know they can do that now because the squeal thing is movable, and that'd be a good thing for RS interfaces in general. So.
know, like we said before, Shane, is that we saw Squeal of Fortune as a testing ground to see how moving pages around on the screen would
Yeah,
be
and it's
helpful.
also the testing ground for real world trading. Well, I shouldn't say real world trading, that's a negative thing. Buying stuff. So that's good. Also Dungeoneering, Framenix Saugus 2. Framenix Saugus 2 this month. So this one carries on from where Thok and Mamoru's left off in Dungeoneering. You know, I still haven't got those things in those floors where I can open that up to get the reward to go unlock the sagas.
Oh, those like little mini saga things.
Yeah.
From what I remember, you have to do Frozen at least C, I think C2 or C3.
Oh, okay. Well, that
If you want
explains it
to,
because I always rush Frozen.
yeah. So you basically have to do those in whatever in order to get it, and higher up, you can't do C1. C1s won't get you it. So.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so that'll be also this month as usual. That's well, it makes sense. 2 years since Dungeoneering came out, so why not put some Dungeoneering updates out? Do you have anything else you want to talk about Dungeoneering before we move on to this next very interesting thing that's coming?
Well, we have a question on Dungeoneering, so I can touch on the second part later on.
Okay. The rune span. So this is the new runecrafting training method. Allows training from all the way 1 to 99. It is discovered by the Runecrafting Guild. It's a place where runes can be pulled from the wild, elemental nodes, or even from native wildlife. You'll be able to traverse the floating networks that make up the rune span with magical platforms installed by Runecrafting Guild pioneers, collecting runes and helping hapless lizards who become stuck, all for bags of RC XP. Members have access to three separate areas within the rune span, each at an increasing aimed at increasing level range. Free player access will be only the lower level. And of course, there will also be other rewards from this if you're a member at the Runecrafting Guild, including Wicked Robes, which will increase the capabilities of the Wicked Hood, and some new magical staves, and a pouch with a huge capacity of 18 rune essence. Wow.
Yay!
I hope there's something like a smokestaff or something, you know?
Yeah, so what's that, something like something with air and water, or air and fire would
No,
be
it,
deadly.
yeah, that's what I meant. 'Cause there's already the steam battle staff.
Oh, there is? I didn't know. I can't remember about
Yeah,
that one.
air, yeah, steam battle staff. Mystic steam staff, 328K. I believe, oh, I'm drawing a blank as to who drops that.
Oh, we'll worry about it in the future.
Yeah, but anyway, so that already exists, so maybe some more stuff like that.
Okay, you think this is a, you think
But
they
what?
believe this is a needed update?
Yes, I do. Well, I mean, if you think about it, runecrafting has been out since RS2 came out, and it's been the same general way of training all along. So, I mean, they always like to change the way this kind of training happens, so it makes sense that it would come out. The thing I'm hoping is that it doesn't turn out to be a poof like the Artisan's Guild was for smithing.
Oh, that thing was just not worth it.
Yeah, exactly. So I hope that this will be worth it. Because as we all remember, Artisan's Guild, for smithing was indeed branded as the new way to train smithing, much like this is for runecrafting.
Oh, no, it's not.
Yeah, exactly. So we just have to hope that this is the case going forward.
Well, the thing is you remember during a double weekend, you and I both trained a little bit of runecrafting at the altar, Zimi altar. And you remember just how tedious and boring that was.
Yep.
What we are both hoping right now is they try and find a way to get rid of the grinding that we
yes,
do with crafting.
That would be...
That is the biggest issue.
Remove the grinding, but still maintain the challenge.
Mm-hmm. That has been the biggest issue with it right now. Is that we are just so, you know, it becomes monotonous. You honestly become a robot as you're doing it, and you can only be a robot for so long. You know, we cannot charge up a new battery and be all on merry way.
And it's not as fun as crafting in the real world, because in the real world you get to see different scenery and actually have a guaranteed, you know, what number of runes you're getting. And with ZMI, it's like you're just doing it for XP. The runes add up over time, but they're not as great as, say, crafting death runes to 99.
Yeah, but then again, getting there is also half the challenge.
Yeah.
Unless
yeah.
you use the abyss, but then, you know, with wilderness back, you run the risk of ice barragers coming back at you again.
Yep. Yep, that's true.
But from what this says though is that let's see, you get to pull runes from the wild elemental nodes or even native wildlife. This sounds something like a little bit of Hunter to me thrown in. And I'm wondering maybe if a Hunter may play a role in this. We'll find out when it comes out. But
I don't know, because they say it's up in the sparse plain, or Runespan. So I don't think it would be part of the real world. I mean, not directly, at least.
The thing is that if you're going around pulling things from the wild and elemental nodes, that means you're probably running around that little island trying to find this and that and this and that. Then you're really just running around, and maybe there's an arrow that points down, get this one, and maybe you mix it with something else, and it makes whatever. It just doesn't sound like a better way to train runecrafting, because then maybe you're not getting the set amount that you're looking for. Completely different every time you play. You cannot figure out, oh, I need to do this and this and this and this. You can't figure that one out. It might take even longer to get to 99, but who knows?
I hope this update comes out next week.
We'll see what happens.
All right.
Got anything else to add to it?
No, not really. I'm finished with the behind the scenes. So, let's us move on to this little video here that they have. We are going longer, of course, because we had lots to discuss. So we might chop off a few questions, or we might chop off a tech news story. But did you watch this cinematic trailer they provided?
Oh, yeah.
What do you think?
It's quite nice. Really detailed.
Do you think it's a good thing to have something that doesn't look exactly like the game? Or do you think they should be using their own engine for this?
Well, as I remember, Shane, every time there's a trailer for a movie, it's never the same thing as the actual thing.
You mean for a game?
Let's look into, what was one of it? Back in the days, Warcraft 3 and World of Warcraft. You know, the commercials for it look really, really, really nice and looks great, but in the game itself, it's completely different from the videos. And so, you know, it doesn't really mean anything. It's a teaser.
Yeah. I mean, it's Taverly, and it looks like... I mean...
Are you killing somebody?
Yeah, that's a troll. And it, like, the graphics of these people kind of look like the graphics you see in movies like Shrek and whatnot.
Hmm.
So maybe they're planning on making a RuneScape feature film or something. Because they do show other parts of the world with this in this trailer.
Ugh.
What?
RuneScape movie? No, thank you.
Why not?
Let's just, well, Shane, as you may recall, no video game movie has ever been good. Maybe Rio, but then again, Rio wasn't exactly an adaptation of a video game. Yeah, so, Shane, let's be frank, when was the last good video game movie out that came out?
I do not recall.
Because there isn't one. It's not you do not recall. It does not exist. So yeah, if they do make a RuneScape movie, it's going to be bad. Especially if one very annoying white guy does it.
Huh?
And those who know that guy know exactly who I'm talking about.
Okay.
Mr. Bol.
And, you know, the only thing about this is that I wish there was a little bit of a disclaimer on it. Scenes do not represent RuneScape in-game
actual
because
gameplay.
It looks nothing like the people. Scenes do not represent actual gameplay. There's nothing like what you see in there. So, I mean, this is what you'd show on TV, but when people get into RuneScape, if they did based on this, they would be sadly disappointed.
Well, here's the other little thing is this is really designed to target free-to-play to become members.
Yes, and because it targets Taverly, which is the
first
Lumbered free-to-play.
Mm-hmm. And so basically, if you're playing RS and you see this, you know the game is not going to be the same. It's just a little idea. It's basically showing you what you can do.
Yeah, yes, but still, it over-exaggerates it.
Well, what?
I mean, there's an iced-up troll that the guy shoots with an arrow and the troll breaks into ice cubes.
Huzzah!
So.
Hmm.
I'm finished with that, unless you have anything to add.
Please no RS movie.
Okay. Moving on to questions now. We're going to get through as many of these as we can in the next 25 minutes or so. So first one is an audio question from J.E. Dunster 1.
Hello, Shane, Trekkie, and any other guests on the show at the time. I was just wondering what your favorite quote was from in-game, whether it be from a player, an NPC, or a quest. I think that my favorite would be from the cutscene during the A Tale of Two Cats quest when Bob the Cat asks the King Black Dragon what's happening and he replies, "Same as always, adventure is trying to kill me," because I find it amusing how he brushes off the common attempts at his life. Thank you for answering my question and good luck on the show. Sincerely, J.E. Dunster 1.
You want to go first, Shane?
Okay. Yeah, one of my favorite parts in this, overall, one of my favorite quotes, I guess, whole series of quotes you could guess would be, from the Captain Picard quest. I mean, the guy says in there to explore new frontiers as an example, then your character says, and to boldly go where no one has gone before, and we all know where that comes from. So,
no.
I mean, that's got to be one of my favorites. So that's my category there.
Oh, I cannot remember what the actual quote was, but it was really great at the time. Here it is. Let's see. Wait, trying to find it really quick. What was it?
Oh, and for anybody who's wondering, the Captain Picard quest is called Enlightened Journey.
Oh, here we go. So basically, this was during one of the quests. I can't remember what the name of the quest was. It was the Varrock one where you had to make the garden of tranquility, had to remake the garden for the king of Varrock. You had to steal a statue
right.
from Falador.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that they had was they asked was, "Do you know the life expectancy of a guard?" No. About 30 seconds, I reckon. Which is pretty true. Almost, if you go to free-to-play, any guard shows up pretty much dies in about 3 seconds anyway. Completely unprovoked. But why? And here's a little video that I just found on it, if you want to link it to the show later.
Okay. Have they ever done a I'm a blank, not a whatever quote in this game?
Not yet.
That's too bad.
I'm still waiting for my Wookiee. The RS still owes me the Wookiee.
Why? Remind me of why they owe you a Wookiee.
Because you had your Picard and your Serac. It's
Oh,
time
right,
for.
Serac. Right. Forgot about
See,
him.
there's two Star Trek parodies here. Where's my Wookiee? Where's my Han Solo? Where's Lukey? Come on,
Yeah,
Luke.
and we should be clear that Serac versus Serac is a bit different. One of them is hell bent on destruction in RS, and one brought logic to the Vulcans. But the name is similar, so it's a reference still. But nonetheless, it's a juxtaposition reference between the two differences between them.
Yes.
But
So, Jagex, if you're actually listening, where's my Wookiee? That should be the title of the show, Shane. Where's my Wookiee?
no, that's not the title of the show. Yeah, so anybody out there should really do Enlightened Journey. So thank you, J.E. Dunster, for that question. All right, you want to read the first text question from Marking 22?
All right, this is from Marking 22. During this month, I plan on getting 99 defense. Can I this get this achievement on one y'all at the one with one of y'all on the dual arena? It doesn't matter which one, but we could get 95 99 defense this way. What achievement was this way?
Yes, you can do that on me. Just send me a PM on the forums and give me about a day notice and what time you'd like me there, and I'll see if I can make the time. But no guarantees. Finding some wacky hour or something. So just give me a bit of notice beforehand, and I'll see what I can do. What about you, Trekkie?
No.
Okay. I'm
Okay,
always
can
more than
I
happy to donate myself to our community to do things, providing the person asking is nice and whatnot.
Well, Shane, you need more interaction with the community anyway. So you
Well,
need
you
to do that.
know, there are days when I don't want to interact with the community after I see what the community comes to forth after this week's update, for example. But I will say that our listeners out there are pretty bright. So I am hoping that you guys will all be able to see where I'm coming from on this. All right, this one's from Muramska. Hello, Shane, Trekkie, and any other people. On behalf of the Halo dude, he asked in his own words, I want to go to VT for computer science, although I have had little to no coding experience. Any tip for the beginner? Also, he needs to add, he needs to be good in C++ and so on. Okay, hold on there for a minute. You do not want to talk about going into computer science if you have no idea what it's going to be about. Programming is not computer science. That is one thing that we need to state right here first and foremost. So, computer science does not mean you're going to be a coder. Computer science means you could be an interface designer. Computer science means you could design databases. Computer science means you could design network protocols. Computer science means you could work on an operating system kernel. It's a huge, huge area, and programming is not computer science. What programming is the equivalent of your English class, where in English you use the English language to express yourself in your essays to analyze the pieces of literature that you read. So in computer science, the idea is that you use your programming languages to analyze what you're working on with regards to your current project or whatever. And the computer science aspect is the analytical side of things. So that is what it is in a nutshell. And I do have an article up on Informa that I will link to entitled What is Computer Science? So you should indeed read that and see if you're at all interested in it before you go any further, because quite frankly, programming is not computer science. And people who go into computer science to become programmers, I've seen often disappear from the program. For example, my computer science program between first and second year, I'd say about only 30% of the people who were there first year were there second year. So it's definitely not a cakewalk. So it needs to be something you need to be prepared for. So just keep that in mind before you do this. And the link will be in the notes at update.rspmb.com. And now for Maremska's question, has the game become clustered with too much updates in a short period of time? Almost game-changing, too. For example, the Seal of Passage got overtaken by Lodestones. Tutorial Taverly new RC game, Wicked Hood, maybe. Okay. What do you think?
You know, I think the Lodestone was a good update, but in a way, it was like, it was sort of like, well, what's the point of giving us the Seal of Passage teleport if we can just use the Lodestone? There's... Yeah. There's no advantage to it, and since now you're actually able to talk to the bankers without having the sealed passage, there's also no point having the sealed passage in the first place.
Yeah, and you know, that's one thing that I think is a negative sometimes that happens with these updates is overloading. The old methods with, I mean, not overloading, supplanting the new methods, or the old methods with new methods, and, you know, that's perfectly fine, but as long as Jagex decides that when we do something like this, we're going to change this so that the Seal of Passage will have an actual use.
And, you know, as the old saying goes, quality over quantity.
Yes, that is true. And, you know, I mean, most of these updates don't affect the majority of people like this, but some of them do, like the Lodestones, for example, going to Lunar Island, because that is indeed an elite reward. So.
Okie dokie, then.
I just think that Jagex needs to think more carefully, and you know, the thing is that there are plenty of other rewards from that elite set that still make it worth doing, so I'm not too concerned about that. And I mean, this is supposed to be, as he referred to with the runecrafting update, that's supposed to be a new way of training runecrafting, which is okay, because they can, I mean, runecrafting doesn't need an update, as we said. It's been like that since RS2 came out.
It needs something new.
Also, I found my hairline receding, which sucks. I'm turning into a Jackson Alexander / George Constanza in 5 to 10 years. How is your hair, my fellow scapers?
First of all, if your hairline is receding, I suggest you go see a hair doctor because something's up. Because someone at your age should not have hair that is receding. And if you have white hair, I really suggest you need to cut back on the junk food.
I see.
Yeah.
My hair is good too. My hairline's not receding, and you know, I think that is something that most people will see by the time they're in their 20s.
Yes, I still have a full head of hair, and I don't plan on changing that anytime soon.
Yeah, I do too. And sometimes it's too much. I wish I could kind of maybe thin it out a bit, but yeah.
Uh huh. So yeah. You know, this was a stupid question.
All right, Doglover 36, go ahead, you can read.
All right, hey guys, dungeoneering question this week. As I'm sure you covered, the resources will stack in dungeoneering pretty soon. Do you think this will include raw fish? If it does, should Jagex nerf the XP from C2 fishing? It's currently the fastest XP in the game, and you won't have to drop raw fish after this update, which seems a little strong in my opinion. Thoughts? Keep up the show.
It's not going to be an issue because the fishing spots are still going to have the same amount of fish in them, so you're still going to get the same amount of XP from that. The only difference is that you won't have to drop them. And, you know, dungeoneering is not a primary method of training skills. Let's be clear about that. So,
beginning.
I mean, you're not going to see a huge shoot up in XP from this. You're just going to have to dump less fish, and, you know, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, one other little thing is, you know, when you have a spot that has 30-plus fish, I've had ones where I was like, you know, two full inventories of fish, of a cave moray. So I was like, wow, that was neat. And, it was actually kind of annoying having to drop them and telling Shane to pick these up and send them back home. I need to catch more.
Well, what's wrong with that? I mean, that's the fact you can hold them. It's good.
I didn't say what's wrong with that. I just say that I just said that it was kind of annoying that I couldn't hold them, so I had to give it to you and tell them to bring it home, and I try to catch the rest. And we had to do this for 2 or 3 times before I got every single one. I don't know if it is the fastest. I didn't know it was considered one of the fastest way to get fishing up, but considering the fish doesn't stay there, I don't think it will be a big issue. And even if it is, you still have to find a spot that has a decent level fish and kill any monster in the area before you can do it anyway. You're not going to be doing that solo. And if you do, you'll still have to, you know, once you finish it, you have still have to leave the dungeon and go back to another one if you're training fishing that way. That adds extra time that's not needed. If you're going to do that, might as well go fly fishing in Shiloh or go monk fishing.
Yeah. The thing is that the whole thing is at the end of the day, the fishing spots are staying the same, so you're not going to get huge amounts, you know?
And one other little thing is, you know, I got 99 fishing from monkfish, which was completely awesome at the time. Fly fishing is still considered one of the fastest way, and in Shiloh, mm-hmm. there is a general store, you know, pretty yeah. close by. You can easily sell them all and go back instead of, well, it may be stackable, but you only get so much.
They're not going to be stackable in the real world.
I know it's not. I meant in the dungeon.
Oh, okay.
It's stackable in the dungeon, but you only get so much before it runs out. It's
yeah,
not,
exactly.
Not, it's not infinite, you know? They don't make extra babies.
Okay. I'm finished with that one. Are you?
Yeah, it'll be up to Jagex if they want to nerf it in the future, but I don't see it as a main way of training fishing.
All right, last question now from Bonsai99. A while back, I found that my school has been keylogging all of the students without telling them or having them agree to it in any way. I recently looked into the matter and see if it was even legal, and I got mixed responses. What do you think about this, and do you know if it's legal or not? Before we get into this, no, I do not know if it's legal or not. I'm not a lawyer.
Mm.
Oh, I missed a good opportunity there. But anyways...
You can erase that part and keep going.
No, that's okay. I don't have time to edit word by word stuff, but to be fair, it's a school, and you should only be using those school computers for school work. You shouldn't be typing out your life story on one of these, unless it's, of course, a school project. And if it's something you don't want to be seen, chances are it's not school work. So I personally think that a school has every right to do this in order to monitor their students. Just as long as you keep this in mind. And if they didn't tell you, how exactly do you know that they're keylogging you? That's my question.
Well, the legality of it, it's... Up to each district. I don't think there's a universal law with it yet. You go first, Shane.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like the case where webcams were on school laptops and turned on while people were at home. That's a different animal entirely. But I'm not sure how it works in the U.S., but I think the way it's supposed to be here... is that when somebody is in school, the teacher present is essentially, doesn't have all the rights as the parent, but has some kind of parental rights over that student at school. So, I mean, I personally don't have any issue with this because it's a school computer. You're supposed to be using it for school work. You're not supposed to be on Facebook, Twitter, or anything else at school. You're not supposed to be on RuneScape at school. The computers at school are designed for school work. If you need to do something personal, do it at lunch on your phone or something, because I'm sure everybody out there in school has some kind of smartphone or anything. Granted, I haven't been in a public school like that in ages, so I don't know if that's the case, but it would stand to reason that that's the thing. So, I don't see any issue with this. It's just like if you're in your house, and you want to monitor which websites people are going to and whatnot and sending out for them, that's perfectly fine because it's your premises and you're in charge of making sure that that person's who are visiting you aren't doing any illegal stuff on your network.
Well, one little thing about school here is that every school monitors what you are doing when you're using a school computer or a school connection.
Yes.
And one little story that one of my teachers told before was that we had this one student who was giving a very who was writing a very angry, threatening letter to somebody. I can't remember who it was. It was somebody way up there, you know, like a governor or somebody like that. Within 10 minutes, the FBI came down. And, you know, they monitor. They know what you're writing. Anything you put over
yeah,
there, they have it on record.
I mean, any kind of internet like that needs to be monitored because, you know, you can't assume that a kid writing this is just doing it for the giggles. You have to assume that it's a credible threat. And, you know, that's why internet monitoring I don't think is a bad thing, because if you have internet monitoring, you can flag these things and send the FBI in to investigate before something happens, you know?
I'm not getting into that argument with you again, Shane, but that's a totally different thing. But they may be keylogging you, but I don't think they one thing, if they sold that data, you can sue them for as much money as you want.
Yes, that's true. they're a school, and am I right in reasoning that schools are supposed to be areas where people can feel safe, people are supposed to have their imagination fostered and whatnot? Schools are supposed to be safe places, and it doesn't seem like a school would be the kind of place to do something so negative with any kind of data they had.
Well, you never know. Maybe they got hacked. I mean, it's not the first time my school district had their servers hacked. Then again, that was a couple. This was many years ago. Who knows what their firewall is now? But it was pretty bad. You know, every techie student knew how to get around the firewalls at the school without going through proxies or anything. It was just a matter of, like, honestly putting the admin passwords into the computer.
Yeah, and that's probably why they need to do this keylogging kind of thing. So,
but it was nice having better speed than what was allowed.
Yeah, and, well, you know, it's different. I mean, how many years ago was that for you?
Ooh, let's see. About at least 8.
See? So, anyways, I think we've done enough on that one, so thank you, Bonsai99.
But basically, whether it's legal or not, they have the right to monitor where you're going. You are on a school public computer at school. Whether it's legal, it's, you know, you'll have to take it up with someone else, and if you have a case and want to sue for money, go for it. If you win money, please share some with RSBNB.
Right. That's great. I mean, I didn't even think of that. I don't think I'd do such a thing, but okay. You don't have to do that. If you want to send us a question, text questions do get sent to the forums, and the forums alone, rspoonb.com/forums. Topic is posted Monday. You can just look for it about then and post. Audio questions can be sent to the email address questions@rspoonb.com or phoned into the Google Voice number, which is 571-572-2632 or 571-57-BNB. All right, tech news. We finished questions rather quickly. We got about 7 minutes or so for tech news, so let's go. So, Pinterest is apparently now the third most popular social network out there.
I never heard of it.
Yeah, I didn't until recently either. But apparently what it is it's a networking website that allows you to have a virtual pin board online of things that you like. I mean, apparently people use it for all sorts of things like planning weddings and whatnot, interior design. It's basically an inspiration board. So imagine you have a pin board above your desk and you stick things to it. That's what you'd use Pinterest for, except it's geared towards interests, hence the word Pinterest. But somehow it's become the third most popular social network, first being Facebook, second being Twitter.
So I guess MySpace is completely dead now.
Yeah, I guess that's a good thing.
So is Blogger.
But the thing is that where did this come from? I don't see how that's possible in this day anymore. I thought we already saw all the social networks come out that were going to come out.
Well, the thing is, I'm wondering, is like, what did they do to get so big and
exactly.
so quick?
And how did they do this with Facebook and Twitter around?
And Google Plus.
Yeah, well, Google Plus is different. Let's
see what this is.
I mean, it's just amazing that this happened. So I've never met anyone that actually has a Pinterest account. So if anybody out there has a Pinterest, please do post in this topic and tell us what all the rage is about here.
Requested? Well, I guess it's by invitation only.
That could be something.
I went on here right now. It's kind of like Imgur. With Twitter thrown into one.
Okay. It's centered around inspiration and sharing the things that you like with pictures, pinning them.
I guess so. Let's see.
Does it have staying power, and where does it fit with the whole Facebook Twitter thing?
Well, so far it still looks like a giant collage of pictures and little.
Yeah,
comments.
Exactly.
Maybe if we log in, we can customize how it is. But well, I'm not gonna get an invite anytime soon.
Yeah, and I think I might have something similar to this pin board for bookmarks, except less graphical. Maybe, I don't know. But, eh. I just thought I'd throw this in here because, well, we always keep a track of these social network things, and it's surpassed LinkedIn, Tag, Google+, MySpace, and pretty much everything else that's gone the way of the dodo. Even Google+. Google+ is 6 on this list. Of course, this is ranked by total visits. Average time spent on the site is 89 minutes per month. So that is quite a bit when you think about it. It's like 3 minutes per day on average, I guess. Which really isn't that much, but still, apparently Facebook is 405 minutes. And apparently it's also good for marketers because people can pin something and then marketers will say that, like if a brand gets something pinned, I guess that'd be good exposure. But anyways, if you know more about this or anything, please do let us know. Now, this is something that you and I are going to be both interested in, the Google Glasses.
Yes, I heard about this one.
What do you think?
Well, I'll let you go first, and then I'll talk about the whole social impact of this thing.
Okay. Essentially, what these are is a pair of glasses that people wear, and they'll take in information around your surroundings, presumably using a camera and location data. And they'll flash up extra information to you about what you see. So, for instance, you walk into a place and you see these people, it will run facial recognition, maybe. And then after that, it will say, yes, this is Trekkie. Here's your information about him. Here's how to contact him. Here's when you last emailed him, kind of thing. I'm assuming it would be something like that. Now, this is still very prototype-ish. But of course, I think this is something Google would like to do in the future because, well, Google is an information company. They have street maps of everywhere. They have this huge variety of search. They have a huge variety of location data. And of course, when you tie this all together, it knows exactly where you are. You look at something and you get all this instant information coming to you without the need of pulling out your phone and searching for something. So I personally think this is a good idea, and I'd like to have my glasses augmented with this because, I mean, you just go out somewhere and you look at something and, here's the extra info. Then maybe I'll be a little bit closer to having one of those headsets, those Star Trek type headsets that they use.
TED?
In the
tactical eye display?
Yes.
The TED.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I think that's a dream. That's, I think that's the dream of every nerd. There's been lots of prototypes in the past. I've seen some before. They never really, after, I don't know, after the prototype phase, it kind of just started drifting off. Maybe this will bring it back, but my thing with this is, if it's kind of like the whole 3D thing. It was like, you wear glasses above your glasses. That is already annoying.
Yes, that's true.
Anyway, I wear glasses, so I don't wear contacts. I wear regular glasses, and having to put 3D glasses over them is just more annoying than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, people can barely text and walk without getting something bad. Do you honestly believe this will make people safer by having something that may cover things up?
Well, it doesn't cover things up. It overlays it on top.
It's transparent. You can see through it. But the thing is,
people's
going to be concentrated on that tiny little text that someone posted and miss that manhole that's open. You know that will happen. It never fails. Every year, someone always falls down a manhole because they were texting or on a phone. And someone always gets killed because they were crossing the street, didn't see the red light because they were listening to their music. It happens every single year. Actually, somebody
got run over by a train in our city here earlier in January by doing that.
So, you know, just saying, this is just another way of social Darwinism where it will weed out the stupid people who lack common sense, which I think will be even a completely even worse is if they have those glasses end up having GPS on them and people start using them to drive. A GPS system is not perfect, but there are people who pretend they're perfect, and pretty soon someone's gonna run into a ditch. Someone will always run into a ditch, and you know they'll be so focused trying. And you know the difference between the GPS system and those glasses is, you know, with the GPS system, it's on your dashboard. You know, it's just big enough so you can make it out and you'll glance at it and all that kind of stuff. But that still takes attention away. You have glasses that's right in front of you. If you know, you cannot, you know, put two fingers and make it bigger. You have to it's pretty much set. You know, and your glasses can only become so big. And pretty soon, you're going to be trying to read that little text of the exit you're supposed to take and then miss the truck that's right in front of you.
Yeah, yeah.
So, as cool as it is, Shane, there's always the thing of somebody's going to die. And I'm hoping, in a way, I'm like the nerd inside me wants this to be reality because it will be so cool just, you know, just really be connected everywhere and do all this. The human brain in me says they really shouldn't do with it because there's gonna be so much lawsuit. You know? Some stupid person gonna sue Google because you didn't tell me I couldn't drive with this thing.
Yeah, it's true. So
I
bet we'll have this within 5 years.
We'll see what happens.
All right, one more piece of tech news. I really don't need to go into this, but I just want to mention for any Android users out there who want to become an Instagram photo expert, you can now grab Instagram for Android. I personally hate the thing because, I mean, so many people use Instagram and they think that makes them a professional photographer because they can use all these little supposed lens filters and whatnot, but yeah, it's out and... You know, there's been a whole amount of backlash behind this from even the iOS users not liking apparently the lower-class Android people doing this. So, I mean, that's not what I think. I think that Instagram is a completely stupid idea for pictures and whatnot. Oh, so,
is an Instagram just to, edit little – have a way of taking
pictures? It's like, for instance, there's one filter – like apply Cipia and make it look like you took your picture with a Polaroid, that kind of thing from your camera phone. That's the whole idea behind Instagram.
Let me take a look at my phone. Well, keep going, Shane. Keep going.
Yeah. No, I'm done with this. I just want to mention it. I don't like Instagram, but I thought I'd mention it because it's been one of the main iOS apps for ages.
Well, I found, first page, I got like four of them that are free.
Yeah, see?
Oh, it's just for fun. I don't think it's. I don't know why they're making a big deal.
Well,
of
the
it.
Thing is that people feel is that it's an actual way of becoming an expert in taking pictures.
Yeah, you want to be an expert in taking pictures? You go talk to a journalist who ends up taking a picture in places that you will never have the balls to go.
Yep, that's true. All right, so that's it for tech news. Moving on to other things now. Scale of the month for April is defense right after the attack scale of the month. That's rather interesting, don't you think? Two combat skill of the months in a row.
Maybe next one will be strength.
Maybe. Currently, a div is winning with 1.4 million experience gained. Second place is Marking 22 with 952,000 XP gained. And third place is Optimaniac with 465,000 XP gained. Currently 6 days in, so there's still competition going on. Everybody out there who is listening to this and participating, please do keep going. Please do keep it a race till the end. The most boring skill of the months are where everybody drops off after the first week and a half. Okay, so March skill of the month winner was Marking 22 attack skill of the month. He gained 4.3 million XP. Second place was Aro with 2.1 million XP. And third place was the Lion 777 with 1.6 million experience gained. So congratulations to you, Marking. Maybe you'll go on to win the defense skill of the month as well.
2 months in a row.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? And also with this, remember that since it is the beginning of the month, you can also check out this month's Informer Roundup. Basically, if you've not been keeping up with all the articles for the past month, have a read through them and enjoy what you see. So, achievements of the week. We got two of them, except both from one person. So, do you want to just read those off for us right now?
You do it.
No, you do it, because I just did the...
Okay, Ultima Saiyan got 99 agility on April 2nd and got 99 Hunter on April 1st. That might be a joke. But congrats to you, and I hope you enjoy your two new 99 skills.
Yep. So well done, and congrats. And I assume it wasn't a joke because it did indeed log the XP that was gained. So, do you have a pick for us this week?
I linked it to you earlier. Okay, Shane, just a little fun fact. You know, yesterday was the 100th birthday of Muni in San Francisco, of public transportation in San Francisco.
Okay.
So 100 years have passed. Well, what's another 100? This little picture. Let me get to it real quick. So this picture was painted in 2006 by three Chinese artists, and basically what this picture is, it shows 100 famous people throughout history. The artist just put 100 random people and just put them on there. And
what's nice about Steve Jobs in here?
I think so. Yeah, I remember seeing him somewhere. But you know what's nice about this is,
oh, here's Prince Charles.
So what's nice about this picture is, and this webpage, is that if you hover over one of the characters, it actually takes you to a wiki page about them.
Ha! Joseph Stalin and Karl Marx right next to Leonardo da Vinci. And Mao, Lincoln, Picasso, Spielberg, Mozart.
Yes, okay. There's also quite a few of Chinese influence in here. Mao Zedong is in there somewhere. I can't remember where he was. Oh, there he is on the table right next to... Oh, wait. Yeah, right next to Lincoln.
Gandhi.
So you can, if you want a little history thing, and look at the picture, just hover over one, and it shows you stuff. So,
and Steve Jobs is not in here.
I thought he was.
No, I searched the source code for Jobs.
Oh, okay.
Oh, George W. Bush. Here we go. That's excellent.
So,
he's
right
at the back next to Liu Zhang by the wall. And he, oh, this is a great picture.
Yes. So, you know, just a little thing of people on here. We have Dante. We have
Lupu. Fidel.
Yes, Shane. Shane is liking this one right now. So we have okay. people like Shirley Temple,
Churchill.
Einstein,
Churchill. Thatcher.
I'll smack you later.
Margaret Thatcher and George Bush. What an excellent picture. Okay.
So have fun with this little thing. Maybe have a little history.
Saddam Hussein! Hey, that's who George Bush is looking at through his telescope. That's great.
Shane's having a little too much fun with this.
Oh, wow. Oh, great one. This is best pick ever. Vladimir Putin right up front. That's great. Oh, wow. Excellent.
Shane's having too much fun with this picture. Oh, we,
all right.
We also have Otto von Bismarck here, too.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So you're going to have fun with that one, Shane. There's also last Empress of China, first Emperor of China, and the last Prince of China somewhere in here.
I thought you were going to say Empress Palin.
No. Nah. Palin is not
okay.
here. She's, well, this was before she was even well-known anyway. It was made in 06.
Oh, right.
It's an oil canvas that they just digitized on the computer and put WikiLeaks onto it.
Okay, so what have you been up to?
What I've been up to? Honestly, not much this week. I was did a little bit of Slayer, and I was on my Citadel for most of the week. Did the Easter thing a little bit, and that was pretty much it.
Okay.
Not much this week.
For me, this week's been... I've been very busy with cutting SIG images out from Shane's pictures, so that is done. Thanks to you guys who sent that in. Also did a bit of coding on something. Aside from that, I did the Easter event. I have been meaning to start icing my rock lobsters, but I don't think I'll get to that until I finish the medium tasks.
I said I have one more to do, which is the tempo tracking medium. And
okay. Also, I have to do my Hattie paws. I think I have until May to use those up, I think, yes?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's good. So I just got a huge backlog of stuff on RS that I need to do. It's just a matter of finding time. I should have more time next week because that Shane's Pictures thing is wrapping up, so we are making progress on that. Aside from that, we did some dungeoneering.
Shane was happy with that.
Yeah, I was. So that's pretty much all I've been up to this week. Throw a few other things in, like Star Trek Online and StarCraft 2, and that's the week.
Yeah, last night was a good matchup last night.
Yes, it was. It was. So all right, sorry we went a little bit over time here, but that's perfectly fine. So that's it for this episode of RSBNB Update. We'll be back next week. So that being said, have a good weekend. Easter weekend, too.
Happy Friday.